This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, final hour, Brock and Salk here at 710 ESPN Seattle. This hour brought to you by Tackle, T-A-K-L. Good to have you guys with us. Hope you're having a good Monday back at work. I don't know if you were working last week or not. It was a great weekend full of barbecues and beautiful weather. And I was over at Green Lake three times yesterday, picnicking, running, and walking with the dog. And what a day, man. What a perfect,
Holy Trinity weekend.
Yeah, it great. Really was. Yeah. A little Mariner game in between. Just a great time to be here. So, Brock, here we go. Seven thoughts and conversations on the Mariners in 21 minutes.
Think we can do it?
Sure. Why can't we? A little Fungo Pepper music in the background. Why not?
We have a timer, Kyle. You got a timer? Seven topics?
Yeah, you're wasting time right now.
Okay, I'm sorry.
What's going on with the bats? Let's just start here. What's going on with the bats? A lot of bad ABs over the weekend. Some bad situational hitting. A couple of squanders with men on third base. Nobody out after a triple and then essentially a triple with a double and an error for D. Gordon. It's a weird balance between their confidence that they're going to win close games late, which they have, and they find a way to do it again yesterday, and then just some of their seeming indifference to scoring enough runs early to not have to worry about some of
those
things.
Yeah, and I know their average with runners in scoring position and their effectiveness in those moments are not last in the league, but this is a league with a lot of horrific teams, so you start to look at those numbers, and to me, I don't want to stack them with Chicago and Baltimore and Kansas City and these teams that have given up that are playing with 4A players. You want to stack them up with New York and Houston and Boston and those teams, and yeah, you've got to execute. You got to execute, and now you've got a little bit of injury that you're dealing with to Mike Zunino, and even though he wasn't executing many of those moments, he was still at least a threat. D. Gordon had, tweaked his back a little bit. Haniger tweaks his knee. I mean, these things happen, then that level of execution becomes that much more of a priority.
How do you balance their confidence, like the importance of confidence with the importance of production? And as much as I love their confidence, and they all say, this team gets to a late inning game, they know they're going to win. That's awesome. But confidence is weird. I mean, like, if you play golf, you know what it's like when all of a sudden your confidence shifts. Huh. I'm confident. I got 150, and I can't hit the shot.
You know who is the epitome of that? Is actually Damon Huer. I guys give him a lot of praise for his touch, and he's become a much better golfer because he plays a little bit more. But once he started to hit the hosel, it's done.
Yeah.
And he literally is like, I'm done. The hosels are there. These are going to be hosel shots. Shoo, shoo, shoo. And once you get in that mindset, I'll tell you that beyond just the confidence of that, it's also this fine line of controlling the zone. We talk about Jerry's conviction and Scott's conviction of all of this, and control the zone is like at the center of their pitching and hitting, but that's not Gene and D. So like when you're some of your better players set the whole table with it, D. Gordon doesn't control the zone.
No.
Well, I think
in
we
fact,
asked
he
him.
Loudly said,
didn't
I don't
ask
I get
him
so many
it?
Hits, it doesn't matter.
And that short interview we did, Kyle, the 3-minute interview with D, didn't I ask him about control the zone? He's like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, he doesn't do that.
Nope, nobody
he gets
to
hits,
me about
except this
CTC.
Year's not getting enough.
Yeah. And Gene Segura, that's not his deal. He's a hitting machine. And so you kind of have those guys that go about it their way. And yeah, they better execute.
Let's roll, man. Let's roll. Hustle, man. Hustle.
All right, next up, Mariners, if you're going to talk about some of the issues they've had hitting, Brock, they're not going to make a big deal for a bat. It would blow my mind if in the next few weeks they made a big deal for another bat on this team. Why? Because they're going to get a big bat added to their roster in mid-August. You're 29 games away from seeing Robinson Cano back in the Mariners lineup, so the question is, how should they use him? And I have a suggestion. How would I use Robinson Cano when he comes back? Well, it would start with the roster move I'd make. I would not get rid of a relief pitcher. I would not shorten my pen. I'd get rid of Andrew Roman. And I would replace him with Robinson
who?
Cano. Andrew Roman. That's the one on the team, right?
Well done, kid.
Lydia, I saw you Roman shaming me last night. First of all, why are you up at 10:30? Second of all, stop Roman shaming me. Austin,
just said
Andrew,
we should maybe have a Roman jar and that maybe you should put $5 in it every time
you're
you
lucky
mix up
I don't
brothers.
Say Kevin every time. That's their father. In any event, Andrew Roman, not all that good.
Don't act like Lydia didn't know Kevin was their father.
Robinson Cano, good. And here's what I'd do. I'd let Cano play some first, play some second, maybe even play a little third base, although you could always slide Healy over there and let Robbie play first a little bit. And if your argument is, well, you need a shortstop in a game in case something happens to Segura, great. You have one. D. Gordon can play shortstop in a pinch if you need him to. He certainly came up that way. Mm. You don't want to do it every game, but if something were to happen to Segura, then you'd have to call up a shortstop and Beckham. But That's what I would do, and just let Robinson Cano be your utility infielder where you're always going to be able to slide him into one of the four spots.
I love all of that.
Why not?
It lets everybody
rest down the stretch. Yeah. You add a bigger bat. And then when the playoffs come around, if you make the playoffs, add somebody with
your very premise at the very beginning.
What's that?
Why would you be surprised anything that Jerry does?
Fair enough. But I don't think they're going to make it.
But if that's where the market has unbelievable value.
Most of the available bats are infielders. The one thing they don't need is another infielder, especially if you're going to bring Cano back onto the team.
Yeah,
I suppose you could make a deal for an outfielder. They've already added Denard Span. It's not impossible, but it would certainly surprise
me. I'm not going to be surprised by anything that Jerry DePoto does, especially when he's got $7 million of change in his pocket still to spend, too.
Okay. It is possible.
Thank you.
It would be very, very unlikely.
That's better.
Are we still warming up?
Yes. Cool with that for Cano?
Yeah.
Are you willing to go without Romine and say, forget it, let's put Robinson Cano in?
Yeah, I mean, I've also got to see Robbie. I'm also not going to live in this fantasy world that I snap my finger, and even though he's a bona fide Hall of Famer, that he's going to come in day one and be like, I'll play third. Oh, I'll play first.
Not
from his willingness, just the physicality of it. Just first and second, for sure.
And if he can't play third, Healy's perfectly capable of it.
Yes.
I just think it gives you a lot of options that are a lot better than having an extra Romine.
Robbie Catch.
I don't know if he can do that.
Okay.
Might be a bit much.
All right. Number three, here we go.
Number three, Nelson Cruz did not have a single hit in that series against Colorado, and the offense just can't survive that long term without Cano and when Seager's having the kind of year he has. Yep. You just have to have a power threat in the middle to win games consistently, and it shows you just how important Nelson Cruz really still is to this team.
Yeah, and he's an all-star, and he's hit 22 home runs, and he goes in these stretches. And that's a little bit of the challenge, I think, of some of this offense that you point to. John Clayton will say it's the absence of Robbie Cano, and it's about half a run and maybe growing a little bit even more than that. Maybe it's up to 2/3 of a run per game difference when he's in and when he's out of this lineup. But the Healy's, the Seager's, the Cruz's, this is what you're going to have to live with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is who they are. They're not going to be guys that hit 280 and totally steady every single month of the season. Cruz is going to have a month where the ball looks like a beach ball, and he's kind of been in it. Largely. I mean, the last month he has been unbelievable all the way to an all-star game. Ryan Healy's going to have a week or two where he's going to hit, and then there's going to be a week or two where he won't. And Kyle Seager, that's been the story of his career. You're going to have to live and just kind of ride
But when Cruz isn't hitting, someone else needs to step up and kind of carry the weight from a power perspective, because as great as manufacturing runs is, it's still Major League Baseball in 2018.
He has no power. You got a bunch of spots and your backup catchers with no power.
You really need this.
The 2-1. Swing, destroyed, left field, near the pole, there, and gone. My goodness, halfway up the second deck. Healy mashes that to left.
So in case you were wondering, yes, that was just an excuse to play that
call. So you think
call.
Goldie goes back and listens to his call?
I don't know.
And evaluates him? I just love that. You love this Zunino one.
Swing, destroyed, left field, near the pole, there, and gone.
That's what all of us were feeling, by the way.
Yes.
In a game yesterday, you led 3-0, then it's 3-1, then it's 3-2. Oh, my gosh, 4-3. You got to be kidding me. We're not going to get swept by the Rockies. This is not going to happen. That's not a bad Rockies team, but you're not going to get swept. Not when nearly 40,000 are in the park over the weekend on glorious days. And I think that little crack of the voice and that little gut right there was all of us saying, thank you. There's the three-run blast, and now I get to actually see my relievers. I get to see Pazos, Colome, Diaz, the trifecta, like Salk's Green Lake trifecta, go close it out.
That all said, I know last week you said you weren't missing Robinson Cano.
I was missing Robbie. Confession's good for the soul, bad for the reputation.
You're missing Robbie now.
Yeah, well, Friday night when there were three AAA guys in there, I was like, come on now. I mean, this is not. And then Saturday... We're just not delivering it anymore.
You got Andreoli and
bless their hearts. I mean, a lot of good guys.
Andreoli, Freitas, and Romine all in the lineup at the same time. That's not what you're looking for.
That's not the accounting firm you're looking for.
Yeah, no, you're missing Robinson Cano. And I'm excited. 29 more games, so one more month here without Robbie, and then you're going to see him back for the final 6 weeks of the season. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, I would still boo him the first night out there, but after that, three cheers for Robinson Cano. Get out there, hit some home runs, and help this team win. I think they need some of that power in the middle of the lineup. So,
are we on time?
Snap, crack, and pop in that bat. Bow, 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 bow.
Thank you, Coach Cochran.
Appreciate that.
All right.
All right, here's a forward-thinking thought for you. Would you be up for a spot start or two from a Christian Bergman or a Casey Lawrence one of these days? Because I would. I would like to see one of those or both of those guys come in, make a spot start. I don't really care which one is. They're both pitching pretty well at AAA, and just push everybody back a day, give everybody a rest.
Or take Seelah as like a long reliever.
I would like to see those guys come in and start. This is about starting for me. Coming in for a spot start to push your starters back and give them rest. They are making every single start in the rotation every time. And at some point, that just the innings and everything else, it adds up to all of those guys. So you could do it against the National League team. You could do it against one of the lesser AL teams. I know Chicago comes in later this month. Or even against the Angels, who've seen your guys so often and have now pretty much walked themselves out of contention, but have seen all of your pitchers. And eventually, I think that's advantage to the hitter. I know it's hard in the moment to make a decision like that, and it feels awful on that day. Why are we starting Christian Bergman when James Paxton's perfectly healthy?
Yes.
In order to keep him great through the rest of the year and not exhausted so that James Paxton doesn't turn into Christian Bergman when you need him.
I would anticipate this is going to happen.
I would hope so.
Now, Mike Leake is a guy you're going to count on to throw 200 innings. That's what he prides himself on, and that's why he gets paid what he gets paid, and that's who he is and who he's always been. Felix had a rough start Friday, right? Just as Mel Stottlemyre is talking about just buying in and being effective and doing all of these things, he gets just bashed. I know it was only three runs, but it was the hits, it was the command, it was everything else. It was not a good outing. I don't think you're looking at 30 from him. Maybe he's the guy that you spot start over the course of the season. And certainly Marco Gonzalez is going to reach some heights here innings-wise, as is Paxton, that they have never touched in their career. So, yeah, I don't think there's any question. And by the way, isn't this what you are equipped to do?
I would think so.
I mean, isn't this the way that Jerry looks at it? He never looked at it as a five-man rotation.
Wolfpack.
That's exactly right.
Woo! Now, you're going to get Erasmo back at some point, and maybe that helps. But I just think you've got to take advantage of some of these opportunities and give these guys a break, if you can, to just make sure that they are still going strong.
And my Wolfpack, it grew by one.
Yes. Christian Bergman, the extra member of the
Wolfpack.
Where
is Erasmo? I see him in
the
dugout.
So there were two of us in the Wolfpack. I was alone first in the pack.
Is that Howdy?
No.
Oh, sounds kind of like Howdy.
No.
Yeah, it does.
No.
You don't think so?
No.
I totally think it does.
All right.
Usually I think Howdy sounds like the lady from Girls, but that kind of sounded like Howdy. What's her name again?
Lena Dunham.
Yes.
Yeah. Lena Dunham Howdy. That's her name.
Yes.
Very right. Good.
You got to live for the pain. Live for the pain!
Yeah, that's not Howdy.
That's our transition to make us
number five.
Move on to the next
one.
We're
on time. We haven't even got buzzed yet.
Numbers are weird. I got in a little argument over the weekend with a couple of numbers people. Numbers are weird. Numbers show that Kyle Seager's having a good year, or that he's a good player, and that Mike Zunino's good. Numbers show that D. Gordon's bad and Ryan Healy's bad. My eyes don't say that.
That's right.
Yeah, your eyes are wrong.
That's what people say. Your eyes are always wrong.
What did Paxton say?
At the end of the day, look at the numbers, and the numbers are right. And yet, if you've watched this team play all year, you can't tell me Kyle Seager and Mike Zunino were good and that D. Gordon and Ryan Healy are bad.
No, even beyond those guys, there's one. He's right in the crossroads of it. It's Juan Nicasio. Because Jeff Paxton and Shanny both said the same thing. Like, his metrics are great. Look at his walks.
Bad.
No, he's not good. He's not been great.
No, he's been bad.
And he's totally untrustworthy.
Yes.
So stuff your numbers. What do they call him? Pitch and shove it. Oh, he can shove it.
You can stuff your numbers in the sack.
Shove those numbers, man. Shove those numbers.
But how do you justify all that? How do you rectify it? How do you think it's just simple, just the numbers are right, the eyes are wrong?
Well, I think part of it is the way that they're measuring baseball success now is different than our eyes have been trained to measure it for a long period of time. Like, we still look at batting average and say, like, yeah, I mean, you get on base by hitting the ball, that should be it. But the idea of power numbers being so valuable in these advanced metrics, I think changes a lot of how those guys specifically are viewed.
Interesting.
Maybe we're overanalyzing this, and the issue is just that I've got a boyfriend and you don't, and it's as simple as that.
Could be true.
That's a good point, Howdy.
Hadn't considered that. That's a good combination of Lena Dunham and
boy, Howdy.
Analysis by numbers. I don't know. I don't think Seager's been good. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I've watched almost every Mariner game this year, and I got into an argument with people that I like and respect. It's just a sports argument. I don't dislike them now. Try to remember that when you argue with people.
Yeah.
I like Nathan Bishop.
Well,
I like Meg Rowley. I think they're smart people.
That's Northeast versus Northwest.
And they're probably right. But I've also watched the games. Kyle Seager isn't good. And yet, the numbers say he's pretty good. Oh, he's got great F war or something. Like, cool. But I watch the games. Kyle Seager has had some horrible at-bats and big spots in ways that maybe they overinflate how bad he's been.
Howdy.
But he's been terrible.
Howdy,
at times.
Lydia. You guys look at these numbers a little more. Is Seager, I know, or so your comment earlier, Howdy, about batting average. Seager has been through and through all of his years, 265, 265, maybe 268, 265. Does batting average not matter that he's hitting 239? Are you telling me that that's just...
It's a lot of hits that he hasn't gotten.
Yes.
Some of them have been in big spots.
Yeah, it's like 30 points less.
And some of it is the quality of the at-bat. I mean, I don't mean to keep coming back to the one on Thursday, but that's one of the worst at-bats I've seen. I mean, Kyle Seager coming out and getting eight pitches, seven of which were balls, and waving at most of them was awful. It was a terrible at-bat in a situation where all they needed to do was take a walk when the guy's not throwing him strikes.
Now, were Meg and Nathan talking about the defense?
Yes.
And adding that in the mix?
And by the way, his defense has been awesome.
And so has Mike's. Zunino and Seager.
So was D. Gordon's. Yep. All of their defense has been incredible, and I'm not trying to take that value away. I'm just saying that part of their argument was, oh, and the offense isn't as bad as you think. Maybe it's not, but it's still been bad. Yep. And at $20 million a year, yeah, I'm sorry, I expect more out of Kyle Seager. I don't think that's too much.
Hey, Kyle, Mike said that. Okay, if you want to get mad at him.
He can get mad all he wants. Rabbit ears.
We had our beef last year.
Old rabbit ears Kyle can get as mad as he wants.
All right, next.
Get those rabbit ears going.
Bring down set. Give it to me. Bow. 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 Go set. Ready, ready. Stop, drop. Get out. Yeah. Go set.
You just may be a little too inside the building, and Kyle always gets mad at me for saying these things. But I think I would fly out Scott Cochran and watch him train John Curley and Todd Herman. I've gotten to know Cochran a little bit.
Those two will beat him in intensity.
Oh, I don't know. I think I could fly out Coach Cochran and have him train Curley, who at an auction.
How long before that?
The USO auction, Lydia, I'm sorry, ripped off his shirt at a push-up contest with a Marine, beat him. Curley at the auction ripped off his shirt and threw it at the Marine.
Yeah, that actually was my question. How long before Scott is training him where he rips off his shirt?
Before John starts training Scott.
Yes.
Yeah, essentially.
Todd Herman told me he did 600 front squats and push-ups in sets of 10 and stopped because he got bored.
Who cares?
Okay, next.
All right, are the Mariners getting tired?
Speaking of workouts?
Are they getting tired?
That weekend, this was the first time this series this weekend, not even because of the results, but just because of the guys out of the lineup, guys playing a little bit banged up, and knowing that a week off is just around the corner, that it just kind of felt that way. It felt that way. And I don't want to be totally biased by just seeing one run, and Colorado, a team that you thought you would win another series from. So I don't want to get lost in the results of it, but it just, I don't know, it just didn't feel like they had. And how can you when a third of the guys you're counting on are not in it?
I thought they looked tired. Just so many guys that are being relied on every night. They have almost no margin for error ever because every game where it seems like everyone's going to come down to one run, which means every single play matters.
And then
the standings where you don't have a ton of margin for error all of a sudden either. And then when you get tired, you make mistakes, you don't execute, you don't bring in the runner from third with nobody out. I just think that some of the way they hit and acted this weekend made me think they were tired.
Yeah, and I know you can kind of parse this any number of ways, but is there something to be said that you didn't get to your strengths? Just get the game to the strengths of your team, and the strengths of your team is shortening it and getting it to Pazos and getting it to Eddie Diaz and even to Colome, and you wrote that note. You're right. The last two or three outings, he's actually looked like the guy that you were hoping to get.
How good did Colome look yesterday? He looked awesome. Struck out the side, 97, the whole deal.
He almost didn't even play in the game because he had a neck issue.
Is that true?
During the third inning, they got the call from the bullpen that he was okay to go, and Service was like, oh, I'm really glad.
We'll throw him in there in the eighth.
And the 3-2 pitch, swing and a miss, strike three. Alex Colome strikes out the side here in the top of the eighth inning. Fanny Tapia, LeMahieu, and Charlie Blackman with a fastball, and down go the Rockies in the top of the eighth, and what an inning for Colome. No runs, no hits, no errors, and nobody left on.
And what a first half of the season. What a first half, 23 games above 500. But a couple of the little lulls were, in New York and Boston, and they're really good teams. There's no Gene Segura in any number of ways you can parse this. But you also didn't get to your strengths. You play Boston home, you got to your strengths. You got to Eddie Diaz. You got to your guys in the back end of your bullpen. And the first couple of days, when you get down four or five runs, you're just not going to get to the strength of this
team. Yeah, some of that's true. I think I was more upset about some of the execution and the ways, the big moments and some of the at-bats that you saw in those spots. And it just made me think they were getting tired. The same way, look, I got young kids. There are moments you're like, yep, you're getting whiny. You're getting tired.
Oh, you think?
I mean, it's true for me, too. So why wouldn't it be true for my kids? But, you know, you just have that moment where you can see tiredness. And I think that's sort of the sense I've had.
I just went a whole day without crying.
How cool is that?
It's awesome.
Isn't that impressive? That's Four years old?
I don't know if Titus has done that yet.
No. Zero tears. Yeah, I didn't believe it. She was the one who told me. She's like, I haven't cried once today. I was like, what? Heather, is this true? She's like, I haven't heard her cry once. I was like, all right, I guess you're right. She's like, yeah, I didn't cry. She was kind of cocky about it.
Wow.
What do I make of that?
Wade LeBlanc-ish.
She was a little like cocky Wade LeBlanc about the whole
thing. That is awesome.
All right, so there you go. Kudos to Cecily. Whole day without crying.
Way to go, Cess.
Kudos to the Mariners for everywhere they're at. And just some thoughts on where they're going, how they can continue to get better, and how they can sustain everything they've done so far this year. They have one question taken care of, which means the next one is ready to go. That's up next here on Brock and Salt.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio,
this is Brock and Salk.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com.
Jerry DePoto gets extended on Friday. Congratulations to him and to the rest of the organization. Spent some time on this earlier, and I think that's a credit not just to Jerry, but to the entirety of the organization that he's built. GMs are not what they used to be. It is not just a guy who is picking and choosing players, and that's all they do. There's drafting, scouting, development, statistical analysis, health, mental health. I mean, you really do have to be able to run an organization. And, you know, by all accounts, that was one of the things Jack Zarensic really struggled at. And it's something I think Jerry has turned into a strength of his. This hour's here brought to you by Tackle.com. Jerry DePoto gets his extension. What do you think the number one reason is?
Three things. Conviction to what he's doing.
Okay.
A collaboration, what we talked about. And then ultimately the creativity. And John Stanton, right? I mean, do we think that he was the one that pushed this? I mean, he's at the very top of it.
I mean, Stanton and Mather, I think both, the two of them working together on this, sure.
Yep, and I think, you know, really even back last year when John Stanton took the reins, I just remember him saying this to us, and it just resonated when he sat in this studio with us, and we were talking about the trade deadline, and the team had a wonderful June last year and was kind of fighting back and in some wild card contention, and John Stanton singing the praises of DePoto even a year ago.
You know, Jerry's got an incredibly creative mind. I mean, I've spent most of my career in business, and I look at folks that can kind of turn their businesses around like a Rubik's Cube and think about things in every different way. That's the way Jerry's mind works.
Now, if that's the way Jerry's mind has worked, the next step in this process is to look at Scott Servais and do the same thing. And I don't think anybody's too worried that this is going to happen, but everything Scott Servais, or that it's not going to happen, I think within the next few days, I would hope that something gets done for Scott Servais. But if Jerry's done a great job of looking at everything through a different lens, don't you think Scott has done exactly the same thing?
Oh, without question. You know, Scott's been my partner for far longer than we've been here. And whether it be dreaming about what we wanted to create as a franchise, whether that began in player development and what we were doing in scouting, or now culminating with how to build a major league roster and then how to guide it, I don't envision a time where I'm doing my job without him doing his job. And I think so much of what we've accomplished this year is because we have often or always been on the same page.
Conversation I'm about to start is what tears down organizations from within. They won't have it, especially when they're finding success. But ultimately, it's happening in New England after a couple decades. Is it Tom Brady? Is it Bill Belichick? How do we divvy up the credit here? I got to be honest. When I look, it's just my opinion. When I look at the Mariners and this team this season, I give more credit to what Scott Servais has done than I do to Jerry. And that's not any slight whatsoever on Jerry DePoto. If you just ask me, my back against the wall, like who do you think has done a little bit more? And to me, it's Scott that had to create, you know, so much of the foundational stuff in that building. I know Jerry's along with it, and it goes both ways. Scott's involved in the personnel. Is Jerry's involved in, Scott, how are you going to manage all of this? But when I look at the development of so many of these pitchers, when I look at the development of Mike Zunino behind the plate, who he's become as a leader behind the plate, when I look at D. Gordon and Scott bringing the most out of these guys, not numbers on paper, but I bring out your personality, bring out that camaraderie. I give a ton of credit to Scott, and his deal better be coming soon. If Jerry gets it Friday, and I love that, and that's the first step in it, I really hope it's not too long that we hear that Scott also has been extended in this process.
Part of the reason we're in the position we are in July of 2018 is because we've won a lot of close games. You don't win close games unless your manager makes good decisions. We've got good personnel. We have a talented roster that's very resilient, but you don't make those one-run games, one-run wins without the right guy pushing the buttons, and I think that's Scott Service.
And by the way, it's not like 90-10.
No.
It's
but
like
it might 55-45 or whatever. Yeah. I would tend to agree with you on that. And just because of all the one-run wins, because of all the close games, because of the team chemistry, because of some of the discrepancy between the numbers and your eyes, I think those things tend to point towards the manager in this case. That doesn't take away the credit for DePoto for everything he's done reshaping a pitching staff, and I continue to think that's his best thing he's done. Of all the things from Jerry here, I think most people thought that market inefficiencies were gone in baseball, that everybody had the same numbers, but yet when a league got caught up in looking for velocity with their pitchers, Jerry went the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll take Mike Leake. Give me pitchability.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll take
that Rich Hill guy.
I'll take
CC Sabathia guy, and there's enough of them that can do
I'll
it.
I'll take Marco Gonzalez. I'll take Wade LeBlanc. And he tried with others. Doesn't mean they're all going to work.
Yep.
He tried with Andrew Moore. He tried with Chase DeYoung, and not all of them have worked out. But look for some pitchability, soft throwers who can read balls off the bat, et cetera, read swings, and guess what he ends up with? A pitching staff that is remade in just a short amount of time. So I think a lot of credit has to go to Jerry DePoto for what he's done there. You said you were thinking about me this week.
I did, yeah. I had to run into Tarjay the other day. That's for Wade LeBlanc, Tarjay, down there, and had to pick up a little carry-on bag for Titus, and I was in the little accessories. I think I picked up a yoga bag. It's the only thing. I was
yoga
in a little
bag.
Bit of a time crunch, too. Yeah, he didn't notice. But I couldn't help but notice the next aisle over from the fitness accessories was the camping aisle. And Howdy is 100% spot on. I think it was Friday we were talking about this, your impending camping trip.
Yeah, a lot of people thought it was going to be this past weekend. It's not.
Oh, no.
It's not till later in July.
No, and we still don't know what county we're
going to
be in.
No, I was out with the people at Morse's who we're going with, and there was a lot of conversation about where we would be. There's a lake. There's a potential river.
Yep.
There's a lot of options.
Yeah, and we learned this, Mike, in the soccer world, okay. I would say. Fresh would appreciate this, Lydia as well. In the soccer world, like, you see those families and know what they're doing, and they come almost like bring a wagon out. And I'm like, well, the chairs, the little shade, the tent, the cool, like, they got it. Like, they know
but
what they're doing.
But that's what they do every
it
weekend.
It is what they do.
Right. I don't
and
do this every weekend.
When it comes to camping, when I walk down the camping aisle, I was like, oh, that's right. Howdy's right about that. Like, oh, yeah, but Howdy's right about that. Like,
right, but two things here.
The foldable chairs. You know, the little propane to cook on. I mean, there's just some
right, two problems.
Things
one,
you need.
I don't do this every weekend. And two, the people I'm going with have a lot of that stuff.
Okay.
I don't need it all if the people I'm going with have a lot
so
of the basics.
Your plan is to mooch.
They invited us to go with them knowing
right,
that we don't camp as a family.
But
they,
it's a fine
they're
line.
Not just mooching. They've been offering up
true.
Things. Like, hey, don't worry. We have this stuff
that's
taken care of.
That's a flimsy plan.
It is.
Is it?
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't think that's flimsy.
I mean, it's a little, you're walking fine lines here is what
am
you're
going
to realize. Yes. Fine line between kind of using and mooching. There's a fine line in that. And I'm kind of with you. If this is what they do, you shouldn't feel bad using. But maybe can you bring along a little something? Like maybe they don't have, you know, and you're great with that. You and Heather are great with that. You bring wine, you bring dessert, you're great with that.
We'll bring those things. I'll
so
bring
don't
bourbon.
Just go 100% mooch. And I know you won't.
Dude, come on. Have I ever done that?
No, you haven't. But this is also outside of your normal sphere.
Yeah.
Number two is just like walk down some of those. Go into REI.
I've done that.
Go into
I went into REI.
Emporium,
I had to go buy myself a sleeping bag.
Go into Target and just spend. Just do it. I know
no.
It's not in your nature. Just on something. Just do it. You'll feel good
I
about
already
it.
Did on the air mattress.
Do you have an REI membership?
Yes.
I mean, you could get
of
your
course.
Little kickbacks on that, right?
Of
it comes
course
back
I have
in your,
an but,
in your
but
rewards?
I don't want to go buy a bunch of stuff that I'm never going to use again.
No, that's
I'm sampling.
Fair.
I'm sampling camping. We'll see how it goes. I'm looking forward to it despite my attitude. I'm looking forward to doing this.
Yep.
But I'm not going to go spend thousands of dollars
no.
beforehand.
And you don't need
We're
to
talking
spend
like 200
thousands.
Bucks.
Yes, you're not talking thousands.
Heather,
but
I asked Heather
zero.
About a chair. The first chair she found was over $100.
No, I can't do that.
Well,
that's why
a,
are you?
This is a different conversation. We're having a very different conversation when you're looking for $200 glamping chairs.
I don't want that. I just want a cheap chair that I can sit in. She's like, "Well, I went looking for chairs. They're $100."
No, they're not.
$100.
You're gonna have to stop going to like reclamation camping and actually start going to a place like a Walmart or a Target.
Walmart.
Where people shop
what kind of person do you think I am? I'm not going to Walmart. Stop it. But Target. Target, or does Costco have these things?
Yes,
they have my stupid Costco membership that I never use. I might as well go use it for something.
Yes.
All right. Okay. I'm going to Costco to buy a chair. What else do I need?
Well, you could get a nice WSU chair at Costco. I just saw them today.
Probably what I need.
But the problem is that you're looking for some kind of like an Adirondack chair.
I am?
No.
Well, it sounds like it.
No.
A $100 chair. No. That thing better swivel, recline.
That was a camping chair. It was like a fold-up chair. Uh-huh. Heather said it cost
$100. It better be a massage chair as well.
Can I tell you? I didn't look at it. Heather managed to find the Whole Foods and Howdy, Met Market of chairs.
Howdy does more of this. He can prioritize the accessories.
No, I don't want anything from Howdy. Howdy,
yeah, absolutely.
Howdy has either like found his chair. Like, talk about reclamation. He's reclaimed his chair from
a dumpster
somewhere.
A lot of great stuff.
Right? Yeah, we're not
with.
Doing that.
Yes.
Howdy goes to the campsite after everybody's left on Sunday and like grabs everything everyone's forgotten. And is like, oh, I guess this is mine now. I don't want that. Jeez.
If you're going to be using a lot of their gear, one thing you could do is offer to make one of the meals or cook like dinner for them, like meal plan with them.
Well, we're going to have to because, quite frankly, Rob's cooking is now suspect. We went over there for a barbecue yesterday on Saturday, and he burnt an entire fish.
Oh.
I've never seen anything quite like it.
Oh, Rob.
I mean, fully burnt it like from head to tail.
You're better than that, Rob.
Right.
Oh, by the way, I was supposed to give a 9
I mean,
o'clock.
Like, overkicked on your
burnt.
Scale? Because, like, you eat them raw, as we know.
I don't mean overcooked. I mean, literally, he walked in from outside and said, what kind of takeout do you like? I have burnt the fish, and it was black on both sides.
But overcooked for you is, like, probably undercooked for
I like most. Things pretty rare, not going
to
lie.
Hey, by the way, I was supposed to give a shout-out to the Tacoma wedding party down in Dublin, California, where we were yesterday. So this is the 9 o'clock shout-out. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, there was a big wedding at the hotel we were staying at. We had a lot of podcasters. Said, I'm going to be listening at 9 o'clock. I want a shout-out. So down to the T-Town wedding party that was down at the hotel yesterday, this is your 9 o'clock
shout-out.
This
person shout-out. Says Fred Meyer's got chairs for just
Fred
$8.
Fred Meyer is great.
$8
great
is about what I'm willing to spend on a chair.
Yes.
That sounds great. I'd be happy to go spend $8 on a chair.
Yep. Just,
I'm in for that, but I'm not spending $100 per chair.
Where does Heather shop for?
I don't know. I can't even fathom how she would find an $100 chair.
By Chanel.
Is this how she starts, though? Is there methods? Like, she starts
you think? No, Heather would just buy $100 chairs and assume that's what a chair costs.
Okay.
Let's answer your question. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. Any question on any subject, we'll do it next. I'm Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk's Answer the Question, Jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
All right, let's answer questions. This is what we do. The end of every show. 710-710, powered by Coors Lights.
I tried to make good with Luke, by the way.
Yeah, how'd that go?
He was okay. He was kind of quiet with me.
Yeah, see,
weekend.
For those who haven't followed the story, Brock went to Alaska with Damon.
Yes.
Didn't invite Luke.
I did not invite Luke. I knew he couldn't go because of camps, but I should have invited anyway. I should have. But I tried to make good. I gave him a pair of my pants. You know, these nice little
that's comparable.
ABC pants. Yeah, he was actually looking at them. He's like, where are those pants? Da, da, da. And I had one size that was just a little bit too big for me.
Did you just, like, take them off your body and give them to him?
I did, right there in the living room.
You gave him used pants.
I stripped down to my underwear.
You think that he's happy because you gave him used pants?
They're not that used.
That's probably more offensive than not inviting.
Do they have a tag on them?
No.
They'd been worn.
I'd worn them a couple times.
Rock.
Hey, pull your pants up!
That's right.
Rod.
And no, I didn't take them off.
Not a gesture.
Why don't you send him some pants?
Yeah, I'll probably do that.
Why don't you buy some and send them to him new?
Yeah.
Now that you know what he
likes.
You know
what else I realized?
You pulled wrinkled pants out of your duffel bag. I gave them to him as
he liked them. I think he appreciated them.
You're cheaper than Howdy.
No,
send him some pants.
No. Next.
What do you mean next? You brought this up.
I know.
Brock, says a texter, you can't buy people's love with used pants. All right, let's see. Howdy.
I've given Howdy some shirts and stuff, a cardigan, sweater. That's
different.
One.
Howdy takes stuff out of the dumpster. Luke is an actual adult.
All right.
Howdy, what is the most you've ever spent on a meal for two? $16, $17?
Using my money or someone else's?
Your money. What's the most you've ever spent on a meal for two?
I one time spent $130.
What? Yeah. Where?
See that.
In Dallas?
In Dallas.
For two people, you only spent $130 at a steakhouse? That's impressive.
Yep.
How'd you get out of there for that little?
Yeah.
No,
I can do it.
No dessert. No liquor.
One drink.
For the two of you?
It was a carafe.
A carafe? Did you get a half carafe?
Half draft, yeah.
That's what I thought.
Hey, Lydia, did you miss us at all?
Oh, absolutely.
Really? Like yes, Thursday, Friday, on it legitimately?
Yes, I was kind of over my vacation after a little while and missing you guys.
Good family time?
Absolutely. Great family time.
Good reading in the garden, blankets?
Yeah, maybe sitting outside, a little book club time, of course.
Did you finish your Ken Dryden book yet?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I like that you are not only critical of the book club, you're also critical of the timeline that we subscribe to in the book club.
We've been reading that book for like 2 years. I wanted to make sure you got it done.
Absolutely not.
All right.
Let him have it, Liz. Let him have it. How much fun would a segment be?
Can't get
be?
The Romine brothers right? My book club timeline.
The Romine brothers aren't good enough to get them right. Let's just be clear.
It will never happen. But much like I'd like to fly out the Alabama Strength Coach Cochran for a little Herman Curley workout. How much fun would it be if once a week Lydia just had it out with you?
She basically does.
No. I mean a full-on segment for like 5 minutes.
Let's get down to brass tacks. Lydia, tomorrow is 7-10 day.
Woohoo!
July 10th, 7-10 day, celebrated annually here at 7-10. We'll be giving away tickets on the show, on the station all day, like cool stuff for 7-10 day.
Some of the shows out at Druids?
Dan and David Moore will be broadcasting from Druids. Awesome. We are going to go over there to play some golf. Brock's ditching us because he's on parent duty.
Yep.
But Kyle and Howdy and I are playing together, and we have invited Lydia to play with us because we would love to have her play. And Lydia's being shot.
Well, I'm not good at golf. So you're asking me to play with people who are
very good.
But this
isn't a scramble.
It's not a scramble.
It's not a scramble. It's just for fun.
It's just for fun.
And if you don't want to play a hole here or there, you don't have to play.
Lydia, do you know about the first time I ever played golf?
No.
I went with Brock and Brady and Tom to Suncadia, where Brock rented me some golf clubs. I'd never been on a golf course in my life. Maybe I'd hit some balls 20 years ago. And it was, how bad was I? Awful. Yeah. I swung and missed a bunch of times. I did have like one sweet long putt that actually went in. It's probably the best putt of my life.
Yep.
But it was terrible. By the 14th hole or so, I just kind of picked up and
we could tweet the video out.
I mean,
the video is still out there.
And it was fine. Yes. Like, I mean, it was fine. These guys were patient. They waited for me. Are you willing to do that?
Well, I'm definitely willing to come and support. Solidarity.
And Lydia,
team support.
And Lydia, Howdy's playing.
Howdy's good.
No, he's not.
Howdy grew up playing.
No, Howdy's not good.
I'm not good.
Howdy broke his hand out there a couple years ago hitting a root.
That's true.
forgot about that.
He played around with a broken
Lydia, will
hand.
You promise
me this?
I'll
be in humble Helga's, and I know it.
Will you just do that? Will you just bring the clubs? Bring your clubs.
I don't have clubs. What are you talking about?
Oh, you don't have clubs? I thought you had clubs.
No. I don't play golf.
She can play out of her bags. It's fine.
Yep.
Yeah, all right. We're going to work this out.
Yes.
Kathy will probably have extra clubs for you.
Okay.
Bring blankets. In the golf cart. Now, what would be the best Howdy with Lydia, right? You and Kyle in the cart.
Yeah, Howdy's there to encourage Lydia.
No question.
Right? You good with that, Kyle?
Very positive.
And then when Howdy has a drink or two, then he gets so positive.
Very positive.
He's like the happiest guy ever. Like he wasn't at Denver Airport after playing first class.
Very, very positive.
Who are you?
That's going to be fun, man. I love 7-10 day. Nice time.
Let's
see what else we got from you guys. Salk, here's a few things you need for camping. Chair, headlamp, whiskey, toilet paper.
Yes.
All right, well, I have the headlamp.
It's a good running.
I have whiskey.
Yep.
And I have toilet paper.
Perfect.
And I plan to bring those three things.
Yes.
The chair is the only thing I need. It sounds like I can get them for $8.
Yes,
I'm in.
Exactly. Get three of those.
All right. I'm going to Fred Meyer.
Yes.
Can I get them on Amazon so I don't have to go anywhere? Even better.
Yes. Yep. This is good. This felt like a good show today. I feel like we got a lot done.
Salk, you mentioned you preferred food slightly undercooked. Does that include chicken? No.
No.
Obviously.
Or pork? No.
Well, you have eaten raw chicken.
I have eaten raw chicken.
Ooh.
It was in Japan. I promised when I went to Japan that I would eat whatever was put in front of me, and we were with some people, and they brought us to this place, and they gave us raw chicken, and Brock, it was really good.
No.
It was awesome.
Uh-uh.
It tasted so good.
No.
I'm telling you, it was good.
Don't do it.
I didn't get sick.
You really like the octopus balls over there, too, right?
Ate a lot of octopus balls.
Yeah.
You get them right at the ballpark.
Yep.
Jerk, what's the best remedy to get a tight lid loosened off a pickle jar?
Brock, any other shout-outs you want to give today? Or is that it for your shout-out?
Shout-out to the Blazers. They're heading to Kansas City.
Okay.
The club over there had a great weekend in the Bay Area. We'll try to represent in Kansas City.
Shout out to Gene Segura.
My football camp next Wednesday, week from Wednesday. Nice. All the volunteers. Shout out to Gene Segura. Vote
hashtag
for Gene.
Send Segura.
Still not the answer we're looking for.
Mariners.com/vote.
You'd like to give today?
Shout out. What? What am I missing?
It's July 9th.
Oh, happy birthday, big bro. Happy birthday, Damo. Happy birthday, bro.
Wow.
Love you, 45.
You didn't have any clue that today was his birthday, did you?
I texted him at 12:30 last night when my delayed flight got in. Yes, I did. Happy birthday, bro.
Does take a village.
It does.
In baseball, but even here to do this show.
Sure does.
Kyle, Howdy,
but
Lydia,
all they were doing
Cole,
was looking
intern.
At me. They weren't going to help.
No.
They were looking at me.
Yeah, they helped.
Barely.
All right. We got a cat. What's the over-under on our Salk survives camping? What do you mean survives? Unless there's an axe murderer out there, I hope I'll be okay.
When is Angry Lydia segment coming? I can't wait.
No Mariners tonight. You can root for either the A's or the Astros, depending on your point of view. We'll catch you guys tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Until then, the
bar.
See everybody.
I just want someone who wants to hang out all the time and thinks I'm the best person in the world.
Get to the chopper!